Saya baik kalakannya. Upabhujamanam. Being taken possession of. Why? Certainly. Yavanaha. The Yavanas. Sarvatadisham. From all sides. Dwarabihi. Through the gates. Pravishya. Having entered. Subrasham. Greatly. Pradayan. Giving trouble. Sakalam. All over. Purim. The city. It's a translation. When Kala Kanya, daughter of time, attacked the body, the dangerous soldiers of the king of the Yavanas entered the city through different gates. They then began to give severe trouble to all the citizens. You can repeat. When Kala Kanya, daughter of time, attacked the body, the dangerous soldiers of the king, of the Yavanas entered the city through different gates. They then began to give severe trouble to all the citizens. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So anybody who's a little squeamish, you don't have to listen to this purport. You know, you're welcome to leave the room if you don't like scatological descriptions. The body has 9 gates. 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, mouth, rectum, and genitals. When one is harassed by the invalidity of old age, various diseases manifest at the gates of the body. For example, the eyes become so dim that one requires spectacles. Because I've been using spectacles since I was born, practically. And the ears become too weak to hear directly, and therefore one requires hearing aids. The nostrils are blocked by mucus, and one has to always sniff a medicinal bottle containing ammonia. They don't do that so much anymore, but they have inhalers and different things like that, you know, things that are more sophisticated. Similarly, the mouth, too weak to chew, requires false teeth. The rectum also gives one trouble, and the evacuation process becomes difficult. Sometimes one has to take enemas, and sometimes, I told you it was scatological, sometimes use a surgical needle, a nozzle, to accelerate the passing of urine. In this way, the city of Parenchina was attacked at various gates by the soldiers. Thus, in old age, all the gates of the body are blocked by so many diseases, and one has to take help from so many medicines and surgical appliances. It's a heavy purport. Tayo pabujamanam vayavana sarvato disham dwarvi pravishya subrisham rardayan sakalam purim. So Om Maganatha Vrindasya Gananjana Shlakya Chakshur Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, of course, these are what's being described here, the Navadware Pure Dehi, that is the Dehi, means the person who has the Deha. Deha is the body, and the Dehi is the person who has the body, just like yoga, yogi. Yogi is the person who does yoga. Got it? So Navadware, there are 8 apertures. That's a fancy word. In the body. And what we do with these apertures is we try our best to enjoy with these apertures. You know, hearing and smelling. Like ladies, they have so much perfumes. Of course, they put the perfumes on for the men, I think. I don't know. Who knows? I'm not so expert with these things. And the men, they have the aftershave lotion. And the different things. Anyway, so they try to smell good. Although, anyway, things in this world smell real bad by nature. So the taste, you know, the tongue. So we push different things in and out of these different apertures. Of course, the ears you don't put too many things out of except for the wax. And even we enjoy, let's say, even enjoy sneezing. Sneezing's like a, anyway, like when you sneeze, it's just like enjoyable to go, achoo, right? At least I enjoy it. So you know, we use, and as far as the mouth, you know, we push different, what we push out the speaking, so we enjoy speaking, being heard. And then we enjoy putting things in. And when you're a child, you actually put so many things in the mouth, and some of them are dangerous for you. I remember, you know, I used to suck on coins when I was young because they had a metallic taste. You know, somehow they like that metallic taste. I don't know, anyone ever do that when they were young? And one time I swallowed it, a penny. Yeah, I'm sure it's not there anymore. I mean, it hasn't shown up in any of the x-rays. So I'm not a piggy bank, you know, you put the money in the mouth of a pig and it just stays there. So that's, we go, it's described that Paranjana, when he was younger, of course, he would go to all these nine gates to enjoy, like nine parts of the city to enjoy. So we're trying our best to enjoy these things. And the interesting thing is, the more you try your best to enjoy these things, the more you suffer later on in life. Because it, as we were mentioning yesterday, the more you try to enjoy the senses, then the senses, the bodily energy, it's called the ojas actually, becomes depleted. If you study Ayurveda, it just becomes depleted, especially with illicit sex life or with overeating or any of these things. It actually becomes depleted. And those particular, not the only the apertures, but the mind, which is the sixth sense, manakshastani, indriyani, prakriti, stani, karshati, the mind becomes very weak when one gets old. Like when I was in this nursing home, I could see that everybody had a very weak mind, all these old people. I mean, it's not that you can tell that, you know, it's not that I spoke to everybody, but you can see if the mind is weak or strong by the eyes. As they say, the eyes are the window to the soul. And sometimes they say, you know, he's not there anymore. You ever hear that expression? You know? Or, of course, they're giving medicine. You know, they have this thing called, a hyperbaric chamber. You ever heard of this before? The hyperbaric. That means they give him, like, oxygen at a very high pressure, higher pressure. They stick him in the hyperbaric chamber. And they give him oxygen at a high pressure. And then somehow the brain becomes a little bit revived for a few minutes or... After he takes his pill, he comes back. You hear that expression? He's back again. A das, so-and-so das is back again with us. And then later on he goes away. Because there, in other words, the brain, because the brain is not the seat of consciousness, I mean, obviously. But the brain is the instrument through which the consciousness of the body becomes manifest. The brain and the other senses. Which the particularly the brain. So if there's some malfunction in the brain, then the consciousness can't make its way to the external world or the external manifestation. It just stays within or in a lower state, like a subconscious. It's just like it's covering. It's a covering. So when we were in this place, we could see that everybody basically they weren't there anymore. There are a lot of bodies and people weren't, I mean, were there maybe to a lesser extent. I mean, it's not that they were not there at all, or else they would have been completely unconscious, but it's just like, not the brightness in the eyes that you see from someone who is there. And you can actually see the difference in the eyes, you know, whether someone's, you know, bright. I'm sure the doctors see that, you know, if someone's bright-eyed or just, and sometimes I wonder in Bhagavatam class if everyone's still there. I look around and say, you know, huh? People are either suffering brain damage, comatose, or they're sleeping. Also, you know, if someone's sleeping, really deep sleep, you can just like lift open their eyelid, and they're not there either. You ever have that experience? I actually knew someone who would sleep with his eyes open. You probably know who I'm talking about. And then he wasn't there, you know. Just like, it wasn't there. Anyway, the eyes are the window to the soul, so you can tell. So I could see that these people had executed so much, you know, sense gratification, sinful life and everything like that, and later on they were suffering by not being there anymore, you know. So it's just like, weren't even able to go to the apertures. What you hear is discussing, one suffers from the apertures of the body, but nowadays people don't even go to the apertures anymore when they get older, because they're not capable, because they lose their ability, because of the brain's functioning. Okay, so these are the facts of life. However, I want to speak about one other thing. One thing that's really important is that we can minimize these things, and we can't avoid them. It's not that when you get older, I can guarantee that you'll have all your teeth with you. Although Prabhupada, he would brag. Prabhupada would point to his mouth and said, "I have all my teeth." Did you know that? Because Prabhupada would basically try to avoid dentists. Because I remember one story, it was there in the Prabhupada Leelamrita, Prabhupada Nectar. Prabhupada had some swelling because one of the teeth was infected like that. And they said, go to the dentist. And Prabhupada kept refusing to go to the dentist. And he said, simply they're going to want to pull it. So he kept refusing. I mean, one time I remember he did go to the dentist. And then he would look, point to his teeth. He said, "See, I still have all my teeth." because Prabhupada led a sinless life. Prabhupada didn't know what sin was. Even when he was young, Dr. Bose tried to feed him chicken soup. You know, he was a Jewish doctor. Anyway, not really. Because in the Jewish religion, they consider chicken soup as a remedial measure for all the miseries of life. It's actually quite interesting. Even there's one famous author who wrote like a so-called spiritual book and said chicken soup for the soul or something like that. So it's like a euphemism for a panacea. A panacea means like a cure-all for every single disease. Of course, we know the panacea is the chanting of Krishna's names. That's stated by Krishna in the 10th canto, 1st chapter, text 4. Nivrittatasha rupagimana pavoshara shotra manobhirata. Famous verse. Anyway, so Prabhupada, you see, because Prabhupada led a sinless life, he never knew sin his whole life, never knew illicit sex, never knew intoxication, never knew gambling. I mean, saw other people doing it. So you see, Prabhupada's, the physical symptoms were minimized. And even more important, Prabhupada had a very sharp mind up until the end, even when the physical symptoms were really evident and prominent. When Prabhupada was getting ready to leave this world, Prabhupada was able to dictate his Bhaktivedanta purports, just lying there completely, you know, not able to move the body. Someone else had to hold the microphone. Jayadwaita Maharaj had to hold the microphone. And the body, it looked, some devotees compared to like Runti Dave. You know, Runti Dave? He was someone who executed austerity. I think it was 40-something days without eating. And then, you know, eventually he had to give charity. He wasn't even able to break his fast at the time. So he was just basically skin and bones. And yet Prabhupada's mind was sharp as anything, sharper than any of our minds, because we engaged in so much sense gratification before. So one follows the Krishna conscious lifestyle. And what I mean is what Prabhupada advocated, not what many devotees do, but what Prabhupada advocated, then one can overcome many of the material miseries, you know, the external miseries, and be able to function or be functional up until the last moment. Even if there's problems in the body and you're disabled, but the mind will be sharp. That's the main thing. The mind being sharp so you can remember Krishna. Because like there's that Jamunacharya, he has that prayer, you know, let me die while I'm young. The swan of my mind can enter your lotus feet, you know, or my mind can enter the swan of your lotus feet. Before I get old and my voice is choked up with kapha, with mucus. you know, so that when I can chant your holy name. So we see with great devotees like Prabhupada, their mind remains sharp up until the end. So let's examine, you know, how to keep our mind sharp up until the end. I mean, there's going to be things in the body that are not going to be so sharp, and we may need dentures. I mean, there's one of the devotees I know. She has dentures, and just the other day she put them down in the wrong place or sat on them and they broke. And she had to super glue them together. I mean, that's life. You may need dentures, but at the same time, this devotee is so sharp that, their mind is very, very, very sharp at the same time. And I was just in the airport and speaking to the U.S. Air employees, and they were asking for, you know, where is she? You know, we miss her. She was our favorite person. You know, of course, I was envious, thinking, what about me? And I'm also, I'm a sannyasi, you know. You know, she's a simple lady, you know, huh? So, you know, there's envy in the heart. So this person's mind is sharp in spite of, you know, so much physical disability. So this is the important thing. So then we analyze what Prabhupada... So to understand how to keep the mind sharp, we have to see what Prabhupada considered to be the causes of disease, which are quite different than the Western concept of the causes of disease. Of course, you know, we do have our Ayurvedic analyses, which is important too. But he said the cause of disease is overeating, uncleanliness, and anxiety. These are the three things Prabhupada gave as the causes of disease. And of course, overeating also means eating the wrong thing. Not just eating too much, but eating the wrong thing. And we see these lifestyle diseases. I'm just analyzing it. More and more, you can see the lifestyle diseases are the main diseases that people have in America. I mean, I was just in New Orleans, for example, and, you know, nice devotees there, but we were talking about diet with the devotees, and it turns out that just about everybody in the temple, and these are young men, has diabetes. And, you know, I said, diabetes? You all have diabetes? And they said, well, we love to eat white rice 3 times a day, you know. White rice and sweets. And I said, what do you cook with? They said, well, we fry in oil 3 times a day or something like that. And sometimes we even use mustard oil to fry. I mean, that's Bengali. They use mustard oil to fry. So I said, you all have diabetes? And of course, the general excuse is, it's genetic. Yes, yeah, genetic. Of course, there may be a genetic predisposition. I mean, when doctors analyze you in the hospital, they say, you know, what disease did your grandfather have, your father have, you know, what are the diseases in your family? And obviously they can determine genetically what is the predisposition. And there's different types of diabetes, there's type 1, type 2. I'm not going to get into a whole analysis of that. You know, type 2 is like adult onset. That means when you get it later on in life. So I said the whole... Basically, it's a diabetic clinic here. And I asked someone, I said, what is your, when you last took your blood sugar, what did it read? And they said, well, just 300. I said, 300? Huh? You're going to go into a coma pretty soon, boy. So, it's interesting. They said, well, it's just because I had just eaten a meal. That's why it was that high. I said, that's not normal, even for just eating a meal. So I was talking to them. So lifestyle. You know, I'm seeing that every day. It's the lifestyle diseases that are the most prominent in America right now. I mean, of course, oversense gratification. But, you know, there's eating the wrong things. I mean, not that they're necessarily overweight, the people in Bengal, people there. But it's the lifestyle, you know, what they're eating, the wrong things. Like that. And then I said, well, you've got to stop that. And they said, well, we can't live without that. You know, this is the way we were brought up. Eating rice 3 times. And I said, you know, you brought up, but then you're going to be brought down by the same activity. So you've got to change. And I was just, but I know it's not going to have any effect. You know, even though I'm the GBC, I said, you got to change the diet in the temple. People have to eat fruits. And they said, well, we don't like fruits. He says, I put out all the fruits, but they don't get taken by the devotees. So anyway, so I was making that point. So my observation, just my observation, not scientific experiment, proves that, you know, what Prabhupada said, you know, it's overeating is the main cause of disease. And then the other ones, like Prabhupada said, uncleanliness. All right, uncleanliness. Of course, cleanliness is one of the principles of religiosity, and that principle is destroyed by illicit sex life, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. So people are just like engaged in so much illicit sex life and other things, and that's also causing disease. I mean, just like this, this AIDS is spread through, through uncleanliness, isn't it? I mean, just practically. And if you talk about how people have to clean up their act, you know, I'm using a euphemism there. They'll say, no, it's not possible. And it's in Kali Yuga, it's not possible. People are not going to stop. They have uncontrolled senses. Adandago piya vishatam tamishram punak punaschar vidachar vananam. They just want to chew the chewed and expect some happiness out of it, and they don't understand how it's destroying their bodies. I mean, there's so many diseases. They just can't control it. It's just like, it's unbelievable how people can't control things that are destroying them, right? Anyway, not going to speak more about that. So uncleanliness and then anxiety. You know, people are so much anxiety. Why their anxiety? I mean, the modern culture of consumption increases the anxiety. Because you need this, you're in debt. You know, the banks like to, if you have the ability to pay, the banks like to keep you in debt. And so you're in anxiety. I mean, you have money to pay every month. It's like a treadmill. Your rent has to be paid every month. Your other bills, isn't it, have to be paid every month. In America, your health insurance, which is hundreds and hundreds of dollars every month, has to be paid. Otherwise, you're uninsured. The food bills. I mean, if one's living simply, there's not so much anxiety. Like, simply means if one has a farm growing his own vegetables, he's a locavore. Locavore means eating things that are grown locally. And you're just like satisfied with what's there, but then it's causing more anxiety. But you're not. You know, it's consumption. We have to, the latest, you know, you're thinking, can I get an iPhone 4S now? You know, and you're thinking, it won't cost much money because I can just sign another contract and get a reduced price with AT&T. But then you're signing a 2-year contract, you know, just like the contract we have, you know, for the 3 or 4 phones that we have devotees have, it's like $160 a month or something like that. So you're signing this contract, so that's another bill that's coming at you every month. And the heating bill during the winter is coming at you every month. And and so you're in anxiety, and you're also worried in Kali Yuga about whether your wife is chaste. Of course, she is being chaste, but being chaste. You know, or you understand the play on words, or she's chasing. So, or your wife is worried whether you're being chased. You know what? You know, or so you put this device on the car, a GPS device, that when your car comes back, or your teenager. You know, what's your teenager is even worse. And so he comes back at night, you plug it into your computer and it tells you exactly. I said, this is advertised. I don't know if you've ever seen this device. It's like it plugs into your USB port and has a magnet on it. So you just mount it on the bumper of the car. Your kid or your wife doesn't even know it's on the car. You didn't know about this? And it's advertised everywhere. You take an airplane, and in the airplane magazines they advertise it. You just stick it on the bottom. Kid comes back next morning, you pull it off the car, plug it into your USB port. It says he spent 5 minutes at Joe's bar, and then he went to Mary's house and spent the night there. And then, you know, so people have so much anxiety. What about my kid? Is he going to get sick? He has a fever. And then so are the bills. And then so that's causing more diseases, right? What to speak of the anxiety about old age? You know, you look at yourself in the mirror and just, oh, my God. Or someone's criticizing you or your reputation. Like we talked about last night, sometimes in Indian society, people are very concerned about reputation. What are people talking about? Are they talking about on the internet? What are they saying about me? as I was mentioning last night, when I want to find out what I've been doing, I just read the internet. So in other words, Prabhupada said these are the three causes of disease. I mean, of course, obviously, these old age and other things naturally comes. But you can avoid or minimize diseases by avoiding those three things or doing the opposite. And Prabhupada attributed his good health and strength of mind to also three different things that he did, you know, positive things that he did. And I'm seeing how important it is. Prabhupada said first thing was his exercise, I mean his walking every day. Prabhupada would walk every day and just analyzing it. You know, what does the walking do? Of course, it helps circulate the blood and does other things like that in the heart. But also he's getting an important thing called sunshine. Because Prabhupada would walk in the early morning when the sun, Prabhupada said the early morning sun is actually health-giving. Later in the day, it's not so good. And Prabhupada even said that when he was young, his mother would put him out to bake in the sun. He'd, you know, rub mustard oil all over him and put him out. And he said that made him very strong. Not really bake, but, you know, just like rub mustard oil on the body, put him out in the sun. And so two things, the exercise and also the sunshine. You know, I've seen most devotees nowadays, they're extremely deficient in vitamin D. I mean, some devotees come to me and say, oh, I have chronic fatigue syndrome. You know, that's okay, it's CFS. So it's a very common thing. And I say, you know, have you been outside lately? He said, no. I'm depressed. You know, so I said, you know, don't you understand? There's a natural. And they say, my doctor says I have to take fish oil now. Maharaj, should I take fish? And I say, well, when I last checked, it was against the regulated principles. So I said, hey. And they said, well, is there a vegetarian source? And if you look at the vegetarian sources for vitamin D, they're actually, most of them are not absorbable by the body. It's really interesting. I mean, if you analyze it. Because the natural way you're supposed to get vitamin D is, you know, you go out in the sun. So people are afraid of going out in the sun. You know, even in Fiji, I said, why don't you get sunshine? And they said, we're afraid of becoming darker. I mean, huh? What a stupid excuse. I mean, in India, it's an Indian thing too, isn't it? Because they're so racist there. You know, the Bollywood stars are like whiter than me. And so they're racist. I mean, it's horrible. It's just from the British, you know, this whole stupid British people. Sorry if there's anyone from UK here. So it's just, you know, huh? And so they're not getting sunshine. The point is, they're not getting sunshine, no vitamin D, no energy. And so they're taking so many things that don't really supplement the vitamin D because the way you're supposed to get it is from the sunshine. What's that?
And it costs more money for the supplements, so then they're more anxiety.
And the more anxiety, and the supplements are really not absorbable by the body. It's just like sometimes people take iron pills, and the iron is inorganic iron when they're taking it, isn't it? It's not absorbable by the body. Instead of just eating your spinach like Popeye. That's it. You know, anyway, I'm not going to mention who he is. So, so a natural life like that. So you exercise, you get the sun, and you know, your heart is in better shape. And I remember I was talking to one devotee last night. And, his mother died when she was 44 from a massive heart attack because she was inside all the time and smoking, chain smoker, and anxiety, smoking one cigarette after another. Like that. You see that. That's sometimes when I travel, that people, when trains, for example, in Europe, the train stops for 2 seconds and they have to get outside. Isn't it? You know, it's just like to get as much nectar out of the cigarette as possible. And then when the train starts, they have to just run after it and throw the cigarette away. You know, the cigarette's gone down only this much, and I don't know how much one cigarette costs, but it's more expensive than it was when I was a kid. And so, so exercise, Prabhupada said exercise. And another thing he said is massage. I was always wondering about that. And I found out why massage is good for you. Because I was talking to people, I just found out recently, because all of us, we have in addition to the circulatory blood system, we have a lymph system. And the lymph system does not have like pumps in it, like the heart has a pump. You know, like Valentine's Day, you know. The heart pumps the blood all over the body. You know, unless you have, you know, deep vein thrombosis or something like that. So the lymph system doesn't have a pump, so it has to function, you know. So massage, you know, I never understood the reason for massage before. I was thinking, oh, this is something cultural. But actually, even Lord Chaitanya got massages. So it actually causes the lymph to go in a different place in the body. And if you can't get a massage, this devotee I was talking to, a health person, said, you just jump around. Jump up and down in kirtan. Prabhupada also said that. You jump up and down in kirtan. That's your exercise. So if you jump up and down, like that a lot, then it gets the lymph going. So... And then another thing Prabhupada took was his medicine for his health, which had pearls and gold and everything like that. I'm not suggesting that be too expensive. But, so in other words, following the Ayurveda, the balance of the doshas, it was Ayurvedic medicine. I think it was Makaradvaja was the name of the medicine. So understanding, in other words, just to unpack that statement of Prabhupada's, understanding one's doshas and what one can eat, you know, Ayurveda is based on prevention rather than after the fact, rather than cure the disease, preventing you having the disease, the balance. You know, Western medicine is just like, you're really sick, we got to cut something out. Isn't it? That's Western medicine. Cut something out, you know, you got to take one of your arteries from your leg and just stick it on your heart. Or take an artery from a pig and put it... Isn't it? They take pig arteries and put it on your heart for the main cardiac artery. So that's Western medicine. You know, someone's sick as a dog. Okay, so give them part of a dog or part of a pig to cure them. Whereas in the Ayurveda, it's just like proactive. So better to be proactive than reactive to medicine. So if one follows these points that Prabhupada has given us, I mean, they're just unpacking Prabhupada's statements. And not eating too much. Like Prabhupada, you may say, well, Prabhupada ate sweets, but Prabhupada ate very little. Prabhupada didn't take big quantity. He took small quantity of things. And when he ate, he chewed a lot, too. Another thing is we don't chew. We just, like, take our food and we just swallow it. Whole. And then we're like the python who swallows a whole animal, you know. It takes a while to digest. Anyway, so these are different points about... But Prabhupada gave us a system. And if we... Yeah, proper rest. That's another thing. Proper rest. Not too little sleep or else the immune system becomes depleted. And if the immune system is strong, then you won't get that sick. Okay, sorry we don't have time for more discussion about health, but that's what this purport in class is about. Minimizing the symptoms of old age. And they'll be there, but at least keep the mind... sharp.